spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the All Arizona Daily Download. Nothing but Arizona news stories on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Number three.
Festivals canceled in Phoenix.
All right, so a whole bunch of stuff was canceled.
If you had plans to go to Four Peaks Oktoberfest in Tempe or the Taco Festival at the Salt River Fields, you can kiss those plans goodbye. Both events have been canceled or postponed due to the surge in COVID-19 cases in Arizona. The annual Taco Fest will now be in April of 2022. No new date has been set for the Tempe Oktoberfest.
All right, so all these festivals are being canceled. Let me ask this question. Why are you canceling those festivals, but we can have Guns N' Roses come here to Phoenix Suns Arena and play in front of how many people yesterday? Inside?
Probably 15,000.
What's
close
the difference?
To it?
What about
football games that are starting up?
I've got season tickets to the Arizona Cardinals. First games in a week or two. Why aren't we canceling that? So, am I missing something?
Well, the weird thing, too, is aren't most festivals outdoors?
I don't go
well,
to
these two are for sure.
I'm scared of these festivals. You know, I don't like going to the bathroom and one of those porta potties and all that kind of stuff. So, I usually don't go to one of these things.
I don't even know. I'm uncomfortable
You're not scared of COVID, but you are of the
porta potty.
A little bit of both. Okay. So you got a handful of these outdoor festivals in the Valley canceled. Okay. It's due to the increased concerns. It's the spread of the Delta variant.
You know
okay,
what I think
I
it is?
It. What?
They're probably worried people aren't going to show up or not enough people will show up.
Well, that's interesting, too.
So it's not that they're necessarily worried about the health and safety because it's outside. You can distance.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried, hey, if 40% of the people who would usually come to this don't show up.
But isn't that good then? If less people show up.
No, they need money.
I understand that, but it's better than nothing. If less people show up, you're probably a little bit safer than if it was totally packed.
Think about it. You have to pay big money to put these festivals on. If don't get a certain amount of people showing up and spending money, then you end up losing money.
Yeah, I mean, weren't you going to MC the refried bean show in a couple weeks?
They can't afford me, believe me.
Oh, okay.
They've asked before, and I've said, listen, I don't eat refried beans.
No?
It's not good for me. Is the state fair going to, is that happening this year? Anyone?
I heard that it was, but without the concert.
Right, without the concerts.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so, I mean, on a lot of this doesn't make sense.
Well, you're outside there. The concerts would be inside, so that does make some sense.
You could put them in the outdoor arena, though.
Sure, you could. I wouldn't have canceled this stuff. Because, by the way, we're supposed to be out of this in October, at least the Delta surge.
The All Arizona Daily Download.
Monsoon tears down the wall.
Okay, so get this. On the border wall, Arizona and Mexico, the monsoon has been so bad, it tore down the wall.
Powerful monsoon floods have ripped off parts of the new $15 billion border wall near Douglas.
That's not a very good wall. I mean, geez, we heard all about this great wall that was going to be built, and, you know, some of it was built and some of it wasn't, but... You know, I've seen, what did we see? We saw a kid scale it in 5 seconds. The border walls also, the door at the bottom of the border wall have been left open. That defeats the whole purpose. And now you've got a little wind in the desert, and what happens? Your wall falls down.
Twisted metal, missing gates, and flood debris entangled into the wall. All the results of the first flood event that hit that area just 9 months after this new section was completed.
I mean, come on, man.
I mean, aren't you the big wind in the desert? Think about what you'd do to that wall.
It's never. I could breathe on it. It'd fall down.
There you go.
Oh, this is just disappointing. We can't have nice walls here, apparently. That's how it goes. The monsoon, when is it supposed to kick in tonight, Becky Lynn? Is there a time frame?
Any time now because it's already raining out in Buckeye, so it's headed this way.
Buckeye doesn't count.
Buckeye does count. I tease my friends. All those Buckeyeans are not going to be happy with you.
I tease my friends in Buckeye.
Buckeyeans?
I don't know what it would be. What would you say?
Bucks. All those bucks.
All those bucks?
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
So this has certainly been a cool monsoon season with all the rain. I mean, today, it hasn't even gotten over 95 degrees or so. There's so much. I'm looking outside. There's so much cloud cover that, you know, I don't remember a season like this, a summer like this. You know, I've been through 25 summers here in Arizona. I remember 119 the day I got back from my honeymoon with my wife many years ago. It seems that, you know, certainly July and August were a cakewalk. It just wasn't hot. It was simply just not that bad.
It was really humid this year. It wasn't the horrible hot heat for weeks on end, but I feel like it was more humid than in the past.
We're also supposed to get some flooding.
We are under a flash flood watch. Every county in the state is under that watch.
So we'll have to watch that, and we'll be here all day to tell you if the rain comes and how much.
The All Arizona Daily Download. Number one.
We're ignoring the biggest problem of them all.
Biggest problem of them all is COVID in school with kids. It's really incredible that when you look at the pandemic and you break it down, you can look to about four or five states, okay, that have COVID outbreaks, and everybody in the hospital is unvaccinated.
Florida.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, keep going. It's all the southern states. So now, and you see that, and you're like, okay, there's a pattern there. People aren't getting vaccinated. People are getting sick. People are going to the hospital. Louisiana is another one. Mm-hmm. We can go on and on. But when you look here in Arizona and you see how many kids, it's like one in four kids are getting sick with COVID. And you're like, okay, let's try and fix that problem. There isn't one human being trying to fix that problem in Arizona. A single human being wants to fix that problem. Apparently, from the legislature to our immoral governor, they just don't care.
Well, there's people who do care. I saw
They're not in a power position to do it.
Kathy Hoffman today was
not in a power position to do it, unfortunately.
She's in an elected position, but
can't change it.
Right. But these school leaders, some of them can certainly say, hey, you know, we're going to mandate masks. We're going to make masks part of the dress code.
Dr. Rebecca Sonnenschein, Maricopa County.
All of the potential layered mitigation strategies are not necessarily being put in place in schools. They're in such a congregate setting where it spreads easily.
Yeah, it spreads easily. And, you know, having a voluntary mask policy in school is like having a no-peeing section of a pool. I've said that before, and that's the best way to say it. If everybody isn't in a mask, then it doesn't help.
When you have a whole bunch of people, particularly individuals who are under 12 and by definition unvaccinated, it's going to increase rapidly, and that is exactly what we saw.
And it's not the old COVID strand, it's Delta.
The original strain of COVID did not infect children as much as it infected older adolescents and older people.
So let me get this straight. We've got a worse strain that hits children much harder than before. We've got some parents sending their kids to school with COVID knowingly. And we've got people who don't want the kids in a mask. We're just ignoring the problem. We're letting the kids get sick. Shame on us.
Oh, the All Arizona Daily Download is brought to you by the no peeing section in the pool.
Yes.
And Parker & Sons Plumbing and Electrical. They're the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. You're locked in to the Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, Becky Lynn, what was Nora? What was that? Was that a tropical storm?
It was a hurricane at one time. Uh-huh.
All right, so that's why we're going to get some of this weather in tonight for the tropical moisture?
Yes, picking. There's a system moving in, and it's picking up some of the moisture from that. Yes,
okay.
Bringing it here.
Because I know the East Coast was going to get some of Ida. They were going to get when it turned into a tropical storm.
Or
yeah, they were going to get some of that.
Depression.
They were going to get drenched for a little while.
Yeah.
All right, so we're watching the roads with Detour Dan. We've got the largest radio news team in Arizona. We got Becky Lynn, who's here, and we're all watching the weather. We're going to let you know how to get home safe and sound. All right, who won the war in Afghanistan? Is that an impossible question to ask, or is it the easiest question to ask? Because I was talking to Broomhead earlier today when I joined him on his show at 8:50 in the morning.
I actually don't think you had the right answer down as an option.
All right, well, let me give the question.
Yeah.
KTAR.com, the Gatos BQ poll question of the day. It's brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Who won the war? U.S., Taliban, nobody. What did I miss?
ISIS.
I don't think ISIS won the war. Do you?
I do, in the sense that they're back,
right,
and you can never fully stomp them out. It seemed like they went away most of these last 20 years, and just as we're going away, what do? They come in and they get 13 of our troops and 100-plus other Afghanis.
Let me tell you about
To me, they're
the
biggest winner.
I think, boy, it's tough.
What did the poll say?
Okay, so who won the war? 52%, nobody.
I certainly think that is fair, too.
46% Taliban, 3% U.S.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you also have to, what's the definition of winning? I mean, there were wins along the way.
Well, the win for the U.S. would have been the army that we were training would have taken over.
Well, and that was a loss.
Exactly.
Yeah, well,
that was our goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, when I say wins along the way, obviously getting bin Laden.
Sure.
Obviously killing a number of terrorists, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Obviously, the soldiers who went over there and risked their lives, they kept us safe because we were hitting them over there so they couldn't come over here and take more of our buildings down. So there were wins, certainly, along the way. I actually posed that question because I don't know the answer. I mean, well, we can try and break it down, or you can ask experts or what have you, but asking who won the war in Afghanistan after 20 years, maybe the answer is just nobody. Maybe that's the answer. Now, let me also say this. At 4 o'clock, if you served in Afghanistan, we're going to open the phones for you. We haven't heard from you. I think you deserve to be heard. We'll provide that at 405-277-5827. Just your thoughts. We're going to – some of you have already reached out and said, you know, hey, Gatos, I can't talk about it. I totally get it. You don't have to. But if you're out there and you want to, we're gonna open it up for you. If you served in Afghanistan, 20-year war, it ended. How are you feeling? That's at 405. So if you know somebody who served, text them. Tell them to call in. So who won the war in Afghanistan? Who knows? Who knows? I don't even know what the point after year, 10, after we got bin Laden, why did we stay? I don't know. I don't know. Joe Biden, President of the United States, spoke today. We carried it live on KTAR.
My fellow Americans, the war in Afghanistan is now over.
And if you didn't hear the speech, this was not boring Joe or sleepy Joe, or he looks like he just woke up, or somebody has to hold his arm as he walks, from the podium to the door. This was forceful, defiant, and fiery. Now, you take that as however you want to take it. You can say, well, yeah, he was fiery, but, his actions aren't fiery. We got crushed over there the last few weeks. ISIS-K.
And to ISIS-K, we are not done with you yet. As Commander-in-Chief, I firmly believe the best path to guard our safety and our security lies in a tough, unforgiving, targeted, precise strategy.
And that precise strategy is not boots on the ground in Afghanistan. And I think a lot of us like that. We don't want boots on the ground in Afghanistan after 20 years. But his speech today, it was his time to tell the whole story. He talked about Trump. He talked about, listen, my predecessor made the deal. Let 5,000 prisoners?
500?
Let's see.
My predecessor, the former president, signed an agreement with the Taliban to remove U.S. troops by May the 1st, just months after I was inaugurated.
All right. So what he's doing is he's trying to tell the entire story. And because he doesn't want to talk about the exit plan, that was a mess. He's talking about the entire story.
It included no requirement that Taliban work out a cooperative governing arrangement.
This the Trump plan, says Biden.
With the Afghan government. But it did authorize the release of 5,000 prisoners last year, including some of the Taliban's top war commanders, among those who just took control of Afghanistan.
5,000.
That
not
wasn't
500.
Yeah. So, you know, in the past few days, a lot of people were saying, well, yeah, but Trump. We've already played that game for when he was the president. Yeah, but Obama. I understand that.
Bush.
Right.
All four.
Right, right. I think that it's fair for the president today to say, let's look back and let's tell the whole story. Because everybody plays a part in it. You can't just blame Donald Trump.
Do you think we can tell that whole story today, though?
No.
I think we've got a ways to go here still. And the one thing I do hope we learn from this is, you know, our approach to other countries moving forward. Maybe we don't go in.
No.
With
build
tens of thousands of troops and, you know, try to build up their government.
No. It didn't. It really didn't work. Obviously, it didn't work in Afghanistan.
No.
And when we left Iraq, that's how ISIS was formed.
Oh, and look how we left Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We left, I mean, disgraced? I mean, how would you say?
Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos and 13 service members dead.
Yeah.
And there was certainly a better way to do it. Coming up next, our own Peter Seymour has been working this story. We've had him on about it. He's been in touch with a Valley man who is from Afghanistan. He lives here now. He's trying to get a number of his relatives out of Afghanistan. We've got an update on that. So Peter will join us next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, as you heard, Becky Lynn's keeping her eye on the weather. It's going to hit us next, huh, Becky Lynn?
Absolutely, Kevin, right for us.
We're off the 51 in Northern, in Phoenix, so we'll see how it goes. Seeing some wind out there. Everybody, just take your time getting home. If it gets bad out there, we'll be here. And a detour to Ann is going to be ahead, from what I understand, too. All right. Coming up at 4 o'clock, you know, I got a lot of emails and texts from those of you who served in Afghanistan. And some of you said, listen, Gatos, you and Chad have the platform, you know, to allow us to speak. I couldn't agree more. So we're going to hand the show over to you at 4:05. If you served in Afghanistan, I'd love for you to call us and tell us how you feel. The war ended after 20 years. Tell us where you served. Tell us how you feel. That's at 4:05. If you know someone who served in Afghanistan, text them. Tell them to call the show. We should listen to what they say. What they say matters. What I say doesn't matter when it comes to Afghanistan. What they say matters. They were there. So we're going to do that at 4:05. All right. Peter Seymour joins us, KTAR reporter. Peter, a fascinating story that you worked on. You and I talked about it the other day. There's a Valley man. He is originally from Afghanistan. He's lived here for a few years. You've been in touch with him. You put him in touch with our senators in Arizona. He's got family back in Afghanistan that he's trying desperately to get out. Can you give us an update?
Yes, Gatos, I got in touch today with Muhammad. I wanted to see how he was doing, how he was holding up. Very nervous, of course. And now that the U.S. has officially and finally left Afghanistan, that means the military cannot help his family anymore. So now he's only hoping that his family can escape Afghanistan to any other neighboring countries like Pakistan, Tajikistan, or anywhere else, and maybe they can get a second chance to get there and then get to the U.S. where they've been promised help by President Biden. But it's been tough for Mohammed the last 2 days because they were communicating via cell phone. Mohammed and his family, in particular his brother, they were communicating via cell phone, via the different apps, and of course now the cell phone towers are not working in Afghanistan. But before they lost touch, Mohammed's brother told him,
we know what should we do, and we will be trying to be on a safe side as much as we could. If we do not answer you, it doesn't mean something happened.
It probably means that they're just trying to get out, or the cell phones are down, and Mohammed was just hoping for the best.
Peter Seymour is joining us, working on this story of a man from Afghanistan. He's lived here in the Valley, what, 3 years, 2 years?
2 years in the Valley, and he lived in Virginia before then, and he is a U.S. citizen as a result of him working as a linguist for the U.S. Army in Afghanistan for 7 years in the first decade of the war.
So has he told you how his family is living? Are they hiding?
Right now.
Are they just living, going to work or going to get some groceries, or are they literally in their homes hiding?
They're literally in their homes hiding because a few of his brothers, or both of his brothers actually, worked for the Afghan government, which is now collapsed, of course, and of course that puts a target on their backs. Their father would go out and go get the food for them, and he'd have to do it very quietly. And of course, the women and girls certainly don't leave their homes. And the brother of Mohammed keeps trying to comfort him. Again, this is before they lost touch more than 48 hours ago.
They say, "Oh, we're okay, but hard to find bread, hard to find necessary food supply kind of things." And say, "Yeah, you can find it, but the money-wise, it's triple or more than triple."
So imagine a gallon of milk, which would sell for about $1.50, $2 a gallon here in the U.S., is selling for $5 or $6, the equivalent there in Afghanistan right now.
Are his family going to have to be smuggled out?
That's a very good question. I didn't talk about that with Mohammed. Right now, he says his last best effort is to try to cross the borders on their own. The family members can escape if they want to escape to the north and the northeast. Well, guess who's there? ISIS-K and the Taliban. So their chances are very slim going there. Pakistan toward the southeast doesn't want Afghanis right now because the cost of refugees will be far too expensive on their country, their government, not to mention no matter which way they turn, they're surrounded by mountains and they're very difficult to cross.
And how many relatives, Peter? I recall you saying last week like 28 or 30?
28. And this includes his extended family, his parents, his brothers, their wives, their children, and also the same on his wife's side of the family. Same populations. And the wife had family members that worked for the Afghan Attorney General's office. Of course, the government collapsed, so they're going to be first among the ranks of the Taliban or ISIS-K to be targeted or perhaps even, God forbid, eradicated. And then Mohammed was even saying, look, beyond that, I've got 85 extended beyond family members that I'd love to get out of the country, but I can't even approach them right now. I can't even try to help them right now because that's an even bleaker chance to save them.
So why didn't they go to the airport? Was it too dangerous?
They did go to the airport on the day of the explosion when 13 of our service members and 60 Afghanis died. And they just turned and ran the other way, went back to their homes, and had to hunker down ever since.
Peter, I think it's cool you're trying to help this family, and I think it's great of you. And I know that you've put them in touch with our senators. Keep us updated, okay?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to say I'm very thankful to Mohammed for allowing me to tell his story and to stay in touch with me. He's very responsive. He's doing the best he can. He's still working as an air conditioning tech, which is why he came to the Valley in the first place. Lots of work in that industry.
Yep.
But he says to me, you know, it's so painful. I want to help them, but I just can't.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Peter Seymour. It's an amazing story. A Valley man from Afghanistan, living here 2 years, helped us in the war. He's got family back there. He's trying to get him out. My goodness. That is, that's terrifying. All right, still to come at 4 o'clock, if you served in Afghanistan, we're opening the phones for you. All right? We absolutely want to hear from you, and we want to hear what you have to say after the 20-year war ended. It's all coming up on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. The Gatos and Chad Show, 2 till 6.
All right, top of the hour. We'll get ABC News with Becky Lynn. Is going to have the latest on the weather. It's hit a bunch of different places in the valley. You're getting rained on. We're going to have that. Also, we are opening the phones at 4:05 to those of you served in Afghanistan. Okay? I haven't heard anybody do this. I think we should do it. We will do it. The 20-year war has ended, and there are a lot of you heroes out there that I want to hear from. And I think what you say is most important. And so we're going to, you know, we have the platform to do that. And I think it's something that we should do. So if you served in Afghanistan, we're going to open up the phones in a minute at 277-5827. All right. Lloyd is along for the ride as Chad is on vacation. Lloyd, couple stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of an interesting one. The New England Patriots, who I absolutely hate for obvious reasons, their quarterback Cam Newton, he's a former MVP. They cut him today. They cut him because he didn't get the vaccine, because he's not a top quarterback like he was before. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, take it into your place of work. Okay? Is there going to be a time where your office, your boss says, yeah, if you don't have the vaccine, we're going to Cam Newton you. We're going to cut you. Because I think that time is probably coming in a lot of different offices.
Well, some workplaces are doing that already.
Yes.
And with Cam, a couple weeks back, there was an event that was approved by, I can't remember if it was the team, the Patriots, or the league.
All right.
But at any rate, he had clearance to go, and he'd already gotten COVID. But due to some, you know, wrinkle in the rules with COVID-19 in the NFL, since he went to this event that he was approved to go to, he essentially was benched for 5 days. He couldn't participate in anything the team was doing.
They didn't want him around anybody.
Well, they said it was a technicality more than anything else, but he had to stay away for 5 days.
Okay.
And after that, it seems like, you know, this other quarterback on the Patriots, who happens to be a rookie, mm-hmm. you know, got more reps, more playing time. And it's something I'm sure you fear about every single day, that, you know, if you take a couple days off, I'm going to slide in and take your job.
I don't think so.
No.
Not worried, Lloyd.
No.
Actually not worried at all.
The big wind over there is not worried about the little breeze?
I don't know what that means, but
You know exactly what that means.
I'm not worried, but...
No, so...
It's interesting, though, because, you know, there's so many places, the restaurants, they're... You know, I was reading just today, Italy is there. If you're not vaccinated, you ain't getting in. I mean, the EU had a big meeting with all, you know, the countries, and they say, yeah, guess what? If you're an American and you're unvaccinated, you're not coming.
Yep.
If you're vaccinated, please come. If you're unvaccinated, you're not coming here. We're not letting you into our country. So, you know, and here's the other thing. Since the FDA approved Pfizer, there's been an uptick, and that's good. There's also been an uptick because the Delta variant is so tough.
Saw today 80% of people now supposedly willing to take the vaccine. A little late.
It's never too late.
Well, better than never.
Yes,
but
better late
than
never.
Would have been nice 3 or 4 months ago.
All right. If you served in Afghanistan, we want to welcome you to the show, and we want you to call 277-5827. 277-KTAR. After 20 years... The war has ended. You served there. How are you feeling? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you happy we left? If you served in Afghanistan, 602-277-KTAR.